Yeah, if I was. If I want a Diet Coke, someone bring me Diet Coke.
All right, we are back with episode 234 of the Buzzle Podcast. Football season is over.
And that's all we're going to talk about it. Moving on.
On to the next topic.
So glad football season is over. I would rather not watch NFL for the rest of my life. It just brings me pain and agony, and I don't know why I do it to myself. We ended up finishing down in football. 5.18 units. Mine was the only one to hit. It wasn't looking good at halftime last week.
No, it was not. That whole game.
Jertz was looking good the entire game.
Yep, sure it was.
And that went down the drain. But either way, the Chiefs won 25-22. And in my mind, one of the most anticlimactic overtime games I've ever seen.
So you can see it coming from a mile away.
A mile away. A third grader could have wrote a script better than this. In the second half, I was like, here it comes. They're going to lose. It just depends on what way they're going to lose. Overtime,
I wish it happened, I was like, it's over. I wish that they would have just done it in the fourth quarter when they had the ball in like the 5 yard line with like 10 seconds left. Just put me out of my misery, put it out of my misery, and we'll call it a day. Instead, I had to sit there for another 15 fucking minutes to watch the same
outcome. Like fucking 35.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude. I mean, to Travis' point, I saw it come from a mile away. I mean, once the Niners stopped running the ball, they just kept giving the Chiefs the ball back over, and then the second they decided to get the ball first in overtime, I looked at Carly. I was like, this is over. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, they're gonna go down, they're gonna fucking stall in the stride, and they're gonna kick a field goal, give back to Mahomes, and they're gonna go score a touchdown.
So let's break it down as it goes, because we'll get to that last. If we prelude to that and get that out of the way, then the rest of the game doesn't matter. But what you were saying, stop running the ball. Christian McCaffrey had probably the quietest 20 carry game I've ever seen in my life. They were dominated the first half, but the score didn't reflect that. Dominated to open the second half, got a pick, had the ball at the 44 yard line, did not run it once, 3-and-out punt. And the Chiefs go 3-and-out. They punt it back to them. Do not run it once again and go 3-and-out and punt it back. Like, what are you doing?
I mean,
I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, even like Elijah Mitchell was carving up the fucking, which by the way, I called that Elijah Mitchell prop. Only one I fucking hit. Even Elijah Mitchell was carving up that defense. Like, why were we not pounding the rock more? It's so puzzling to me. And Brock didn't play a bad game. He didn't play a particularly great game, but I felt like he had to do what he had to do.
He didn't play well. Like, he wasn't horrible, but he wasn't like that. Definitely was by no means a performance to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, the stats may not reflect that, but, I mean, if you're watching the game, and especially down the stretch, and I don't want to, like, throw too much slack at him just because, first time in a Super Bowl, you're a young guy, like, nerves get you, but, like, some of those throws, man, just behind the guys, duck balls, balls that should have been picked down the stretch, it's just, it was an underwhelming second half performance from Brock from that perspective. Yes, he made throws. Yes, the yardage came, but when it mattered, it did not.
If Nick Bolton doesn't have a cast on his hand, that would have been a pick.
The only passing touchdown came from Juwan Jennings until late in the game. So
Juwan Jennings was a leading front runner for fucking Super Bowl MVP if the Niners would have won.
Man, he got robbed. It sucks for him. It really does, because it was he had it in his in grasp, and then there you go. It's poof.
Patrick Starr said it best. It's a Nickelodeon. On the Nickelodeon broadcast, Patrick Starr said it best. Firmly grasp it in your hand. He did not.
But then they let him back in and eventually go to overtime. And then the rumor of I'm really confused of this rumor going around of that they weren't aware of the rules in overtime because it really had no effect whether they knew the rules or not because they got the ball first. Why they did, I have no idea.
So I think that's why it's important they know the rules, because if they would have known the rules, they probably would have deferred.
Bad strategy. It doesn't matter about the players. It's all about Kyle Shanahan. He should go out there and say, hey, if you win this coin toss, you want to be on defense first.
But here's my problem. The fact that the Chiefs players had meetings on this, the 2 weeks leading up to the Bowl, on what happens if we go to overtime, here's what's going to happen. And the nine, and you have Kyle Juszczyk, who's like, I thought if you score first, you win. First of all, fucking bozo. It hasn't been like that for about fucking 5 years, maybe longer than that. Oh, my God. What a dipshit.
How have they been living under a rock for the last, like 2 months? Because it's been a storyline in the playoffs.
Yeah, so my thing is that it falls back on Kyle Shanahan no matter what, because whether or not the players knew about it or understood the rules, it's Kyle Shanahan's job. The dude gets paid millions of dollars to make sure that his team knows and understands the rules, the playbook, the scheme, and what they're going to do in every single situation of the game, whether or not they thought overtime was going to happen. You have to be prepared for it. And that's to me what it boils down to, is Kyle Shanahan saying like, oh, we wanted the ball third. Brother, you got to make sure you can get the ball third before you want the ball third. And because that's what I had heard that he had said. The players were saying that they didn't know the rules. Kyle Shanahan came out and said, well, we wanted the ball because we wanted to get the ball third. And I'm like,
okay.
Because if they score and then the Chiefs score, then no matter what, they can score.
Supreme confidence in your defense there, man. Exuding confidence in your defense.
Well, if you don't have confidence in your defense and you get the ball first, you have second or third and four from the 9 yard line.
You're not going to.
Why are you not running the ball twice?
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't care, because you know the Chiefs are going to go down and score a touchdown. You know
that's my thing.
Apparently.
So I told Carly in that moment, I said they should go for this here. Fourth. She's like, why? I'm like, because the Chiefs, if they kick a field goal, the Chiefs are going to go down and score a touchdown. I can promise you that. And here's what it boils down to. Super Bowl MVP should have been Andy Reid or Steve Spagnuolo, because the fact that the Chiefs players could tell you what was going to happen if they didn't get the ball, if they got the ball first, or like if the Niners scored a touchdown, they knew they're going to go down and go for two if they score a touchdown. Like, they had it all fucking scripted out, and the Niners players were like, I think we kick a field goal, we win the game.
Well,
first of all, it's never been that way anyway. So you need a touchdown regardless.
Going to say, if it was most valuable person, absolutely. I think that it should have went to Steve Spagnuolo if it was most valuable person, but since the most valuable player, obviously. But the other thing to me too is that from Kyle Shanahan's point about getting the ball third, I can guarantee you, and we'll never know, but I can guarantee you, had the Niners went down and scored a touchdown, the Chiefs go down and score a touchdown, they go for two. They're not going to risk putting the ball back in the Niners' hands.
They said that. The players said that.
Yeah. Well, exactly then. Yeah. So
Patrick Mahomes, and he said, I don't think Andy Reid would like me telling this, but we were going for two regardless.
They had the play, and Chris Jones even said that. They had the play and everything drawn up, what they're going to do. Fucking corn dog.
The defense carried up on their back for majority of the game. They really laid down that last drive in overtime, but they're definitely not the ones to blame. I feel like coaching played a big role and why they lost that game. Not only that, but I'm at this point, I think Kyle Shanahan is just getting paid to fucking blow Super Bowls. Dude must be a millionaire right now. But damn.
Good double God. Digit lead blown too. Not even just like they're down 3 or 7. No. Right. 10 plus every time.
Yeah, but the last two were exactly 10. So I get the allure in that stat, but to say 10 plus 3 times, like,
but this game could have been a 17, 18. 19 point lead at one point if they were to just capitalize on what the fuck they were doing. Regardless, go ahead.
I just want to call to the fact that if Isaiah Pacheco doesn't fumble that football, this game would have been well over before overtime even started.
If McCaffrey doesn't fumble McCaffrey on the first drive, it would have been way different, I think.
Yeah.
So I forgot about McCaffrey. So what do we take away from all this? What's the takeaway? It's that it does not matter for the rest of us if we're not Chiefs fans, because in their worst year statistically, the Chiefs still won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay. kill myself.
It doesn't matter.
How about the magician that went to the New York Jets in the preseason with Mecole Hardman? Have you seen this? Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't?
No.
This has been going around for a while. There was a magician that went to the because Mecole Hardman was on the Jets to start the year.
Yep. He got cut.
You don't know this. Pulled him up. It was him, Mecole Hardman. He was standing there and he was like, you know what? He was like, where do you think, what do you think you guys, because he had a like a poster board sitting there. He's like, what do you think you guys are going to do this year? And he goes, we're going to win the Super Bowl. He was like, who are you going to beat in the Super Bowl? We're going to beat San Francisco 49ers. He goes, turn that sign around. And it was a logo of the San Francisco 49ers. That Mecole Hardman was going to beat the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl.
And then he catches the game
winning touchdown.
Also, he didn't get cut, that he got traded, right? The Jets traded him.
Cut.
Yeah.
Oh.
Either way, I'm like, that's pretty weird.
Well, you know what's also crazy is, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but the I forget his name, but he's on Good Morning Football. He is predicted.
Brandt. Oh, correctly. Peter Schrager.
Yeah. Yep. As predicted correctly, the last five Super Bowl winners in the preseason. This was the fifth, I believe. It's four or five for sure.
I heard
before the season even starts.
No, I heard the one. It's still impressive, but one of them in there, he said it was the Bucks, but he initially said it was supposed to be the Chiefs, and then he changed it to the Bucks like the week prior. So, but either way, yeah, still impressive because he's done it.
Yeah, still impressive. So whatever he says in the preseason next year, I'm putting $20 on it. Don't care. Might as well take a chance.
Yeah. I'm not fuck him. Did you also see? This is speculation, not saying it won them the game by any means, but there was not one holding call on the Chiefs all game for something that they were penalized most all year long.
There was a pretty blatant one. Me and Travis were sitting there watching it. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, there are multiple blatant ones.
Dude, no. The edges are obvious. I pay attention to the trenches because that's where I played. Dude, there's so many on the interior offensive line, on the defensive tackles. It was so bad. Not saying that that's going to win them the game, but I mean, it was bad. It was very, very bad. But
it's just weird again, how the team that gets called for holding most of the NFL not won in the Super Bowl.
What I will say,
whatever.
The Super Bowl, the fact the Chiefs won is not fun for me, but I will say it was a fun game to watch in the fourth quarter.
At the end.
Yes.
Going into halftime, it was on pace. It was fucking competing for the most boring Super Bowl of all time next to the Rams Patriots like 5 years ago.
I was literally calling Patrick. I was like, is this Tua Mahomes? Like that's what he looked like in the first half. He looked like Tua Tagovailoa.
He probably would have looked like Tua in the second half too if the 49ers could have just done something with the ball and made it more than a 6-point game.
Yeah.
It was awful. But either way, Chiefs win the Super Bowl yet again. And a lot of people are like, oh, talking about who's the real GOAT, Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. Let's be real. He's not there yet.
He's about fucking four Super Bowls away. If we're going to – No. Time out. I'm very passionate about this. I did not grow up liking Tom Brady. I am, because people do the same thing to LeBron James with Michael Jordan. He's been to all these fucking NBA championship games, and he's done all this, done all that. But no one will ever put LeBron on the same level as Jordan until he gets that sixth one.
I think it's a little different with that because his stats have overpassed him. Patrick Mahomes has not overpassed him in any like career long stat yet.
All I gotta say is you gotta thank Nick Wright for all the Kansas City dick writers who think that Mahomes is the greatest quarterback. It's the biggest thing of recency bias I've ever seen in my entire life. It's so much recency bias, it's not even funny. Like, let's settle down. Maybe if he gets four, maybe he gets five. If they three-peat, that would be impressive to me. And I also – I might just go live on an island and never watch football ever again if they three-peat. But, I mean, I'm not kidding there either.
It would be awful.
So I will say – and I'm not there yet either. So I don't want this to sound like I am, but I have always been somebody who will say that there is a difference between the greatest of all time and the best of all time. In my opinion, greatest of all time means accolades and talent. Best of all time is just pure talent. And I do think there can be a discrepancy there because there are guys who just have unbelievable skill, but just never get it done. I always made the argument that I thought Aaron Rodgers was one of the best of all time, but Tom Brady was by far and away the greatest of all time because he had far more accolades than Rodgers ever did. Now Rodgers has four MVPs now. But
Dan Marino,
I think, and Dan Marino's another one as well that, you know, he never won it, but was he arguably the greatest pass thrower in the NFL? He might be still, but I think that Patrick Mahomes to this point in his career, if you put side by side stats with where Tom Brady was at this point to where Mahomes is now, those stats have far and away passed Brady. And so I think that that's where people are getting that. Like, if he keeps going, there will be a real conversation. But again, back to what you guys were saying, he's got to keep going. He's got to get, if he wants to be on Tom Brady's level in terms of greatest of all time, he's, in my opinion, he may not need seven, but he's got to get to five or six. So
yeah, I would say five for sure. He's on track. He's definitely on track.
I 28. Just throw he's that. 20, on track. He's 28 years old. He's well on track. Which Brady just, played just 44.
Right. I don't think many people are playing that late nowadays. Especially with the money aspect. A lot of people, you see him retiring early, but we never know. Yeah. You never know what he's going to do. I mean, injuries also play a factor, but we all know he doesn't get hit because
and he fingers just gets crossed, we never have to see cries. It. You know, hopefully we just never have to see it ever again.
Exactly.
Until next year.
Two other things about the Super Bowl I want to talk about. Halftime show. What'd you guys think about it?
Amazing.
I don't care. I like what anybody says. I feel like there were two split sides to this on the internet, and I think it's because millennials loved it and Gen Z did not. And I don't give a fuck what these youngins got to say about Usher. That was fantastic.
The first two songs, I was like, oh no, and then he picked it up, and was like, I was like, okay,
oh no,
here we go. So I liked it. I thought it was up there. I definitely think it beat. I was not a fan of last year's, and I went through and was looking at kind of the most recent. Like the last 10 years of Super Bowl performances. And it's definitely, I think, in top four.
See, I liked Rihanna's last year, but that's just me.
That was my favorite. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely up there. I think it's just, he played a lot of even my wife was like, I'm not excited for Usher. Then once he starts playing his music, they're like, okay, Usher bangers. And I looked at her, I said, this is literally middle school, high school for us. Like, this is like what we grew up on. Like, this music.
How about turn down for what? Lil Jon in the crowd.
Oh, I knew Lil Jon was in the crowd. I did not expect Ludacris to show up, though. Did not expect Ludacris to show up at all.
Yeah.
Me either. I was waiting for Justin Bieber.
I was waiting for Biebs. But then he's like, he comes out and says, I didn't feel like it, is what he said.
Yeah, I was going to say, he asked him, and he was just like, nah, I wasn't really feeling it. He was there. My knowledge, he was in the crowd. But
fair enough.
Yeah. I will say the last thing about the halftime show is that some people don't like it, but I actually really enjoy when there's like surprise special guests. Like when it's just one performer, it could be great. Don't get me wrong, but I really love when you see somebody come out and you're like, oh shit. Like I didn't like 50 Cent a few years ago, bro.
I was going to say Dr. Dre when 50 Cent came out upside down.
Yeah, that was probably the best one of recent memory, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
It's gonna be hard to top that one.
Absolutely,
it'll be hard to top
that one. And a lot of people flamed on it, or a lot of people forget about it. Up until the Dr. Dre one, for me, it was Katy Perry.
Yeah, that was a solid one. The fucking sharks
and the fucking giant ass tiger. It was legit.
It was corny. It was corny, but it was fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm also done watching the Super Bowl commercials. Give up on them. Not even funny anymore.
There were like maybe one or two funny ones, and that was about it.
The funniest one was Christopher Walken one, in my opinion.
No, yeah, bro. Yes. Michael Cera's. Come on. Yes, Sarah V.
Sarah V.
Putting your cream on.
That was a good one too. Yeah.
He's missing.
Yeah, those were the best two, but outside of that.
Or do you guys see the Paramount Plus one?
Yeah,
fucking throwing Arnold's football head with the fucking take me higher.
That was a good one too. I'm not throwing a kid.
Oh my god, bro.
How much money they spent? $35 million.
Well, I heard they spent upwards of $28 million.
So it was $7 million for a 30-second slot.
Yeah.
So well, first of all, like
four or five. Okay. So
they're
fucking Jesus has some deep pockets then, because that was like a 2 minute advertisement that he had.
Dude,
that
oh my God, he get this. He washed feet.
I think Temu is what AliExpress tried to be.
Yeah,
yep, exactly.
It really is, but yep, it's just yep, taking yep off and doesn't take you a month and a half to get your shit. Just 4 weeks.
I've never ordered off Temu. Never have.
Ashley does all the time.
Yeah, that's what.
It's not faster than Amazon. It still takes about a week and a half.
Carly's like, that's Ashley's favorite place to shop, and I was like, really? I've never bought anything off there.
She's ordered so many clothes for our son on there, and they're cheap.
I hung out with Darren twice this weekend, and he was telling me how he orders off there all the time too. And he's like, I love it. I love Temu.
It's cheap. Yeah, it's kind of like what Amazon used to be back in the day. You get phone cases for like $2, just cheap ass shit. And then,
yeah.
So check it out.
On the backs of child labor, y'all. Gotta love it.
Right.
Exactly.
I also,
hey, that's where the commercials were made.
Yep.
Yeah.
I also did enjoy the Dunkin's commercial with all the Boston people, but yeah, less funny and just good. More like it got a good chuckle out of it. But yeah, dude, Super Bowl commercials just used to be hilarious. And
not a Super Bowl commercial, but like obviously they debuted the Deadpool 3 trailer. Ryan Reynolds posted on all social media. He's like, everyone watched the Deadpool trailer yet? Also, has anyone seen my wife?
Yes. That's hilarious. But a lot of that probably it didn't really click for me until a while. I'm like, oh, okay.
And then no other thing I'll say about Super Bowl, and we can be done with it. But the meme going around of Jason Kelce talking to Ice Spice and,
bro, and all the different things he was probably saying. You think, like, I'm the fart?
He goes, hey, I loved you. I love your song. When the song will come out tomorrow.
Oh my God, fucking Annie. Yeah, another one I saw was like, so am I the shit or the fart? The last thing I'll say about the Super Bowl, national anthem controversy. Over or under. All the shit that you see on there.
I was about to reply to 900 people on Twitter. Bang, Overcast. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? It starts when the first note goes, and it ends when the first Brave ends. It was under, and there was never controversy about it.
So
apparently,
there were a few books that had different rules around it, which is why there was so much controversy, because a lot of official books, it was the under, but there were a few books that it was starting note to finish note regardless. And so the over it hit. And so people were like, oh, over 92 and a half. I'm like, nah, bro, it was 88 seconds.
I will never bet on that ever again. Cause I got screwed 1 year in Bovada about it. And I reached out to them. They're like, yeah, sorry. It's kind of just up to our discretion.
Yeah. They say it's at the book's discretion, whatever the book manager says goes, and you can't change it. But now they have put stipulations around it. On Bovada especially, where it's like it starts whenever the first note on the end of the first Brave. And so people thought because she cut off Brave and said it again that it hit the over. Yeah. No.
Okay. So one more thing I'll say. Did you see Booker with Trent, his price picks entry?
Yeah.
Dude, heartbreaker. He should have had it. Chris McCaffrey should have three touchdowns probably.
Kyle Shanahan runs the ball twice there on third and four. He either gets in the end zone or down to the 1 yard line. I swear.
Yeah. Yep. Dude, I would be, I don't know if I'd ever come back from that. I would just go into a dark hole like Aaron Rodgers and never come out.
I would, I would lose sleep over it for sure.
Yeah.
I would lay in bed at night and stare at the ceiling and probably hate myself forever. But that Super Bowl football season is over. We can rejoice. We made about 200,000 units and bets across the year to end up down 5. So it's a good trade-off for entertainment. Next thing I want to roll into is a little bit golf central related. We had the wasted management this past weekend. They got off to just a bad start and kind of never really found its footing. This is a tournament that I look forward to as a golf fan every single year. It's fun to watch, but this year they had a rain delay on the first day that took like 5 hours, and then frost delay every single morning, which you don't expect in Phoenix. But the thing around it was how rowdy and ridiculous everyone is playing into the already rowdiness and just taking it to the next level. Billy Horschel and Zach Johnson were both seen getting into it with fans on Sunday. They were heckling being too rowdy. I say the same thing, but I did see one video where there's dudes that are like they're just hitting in the some random fairway, and they just start like yelling in the middle of a dude's swing. I'm like, okay, oof. There's a moment to be rowdy and have a good time, and then there's also a moment to shut the fuck up and kind of respect the guys that you came to see. So,
dial it back.
Yeah. With that being said, what do you guys think about this and the event? Do you see them kind of dialing it back a bit? They cut off alcohol sales one of the days where there's a big rain delay. I saw dudes fucking pissing their pants, yeah, falling down in the mud. I'm like,
yeah,
what are we doing here?
Yeah,
it's just a little.
Dude, I saw the video of the guy that was like stumbling around and like stumbled down a hill and like ran into a pole. I'm like, bro, first of all, if you're like that in public, seek help. Please seek help. Mm-hmm. Like,
Where are your friends?
That's everyone's like, where's his friends? I'm like, they probably fucking left him there because he was probably being a Jacob Miller. To be honest with you.
My thing is that I think they're gonna have to scale it back because you talked about them cutting off alcohol sales, and I had seen too, and I think I told you this, Travis, is that the one day they weren't checking tickets, and so like an extra 20,000 fans got in, and they were so over
livid
that they had to cut off alcohol sales, and so all the people who paid to get in paid to have a good time couldn't
only cut off alcohol sales. They cut off people, let people in. Like even if you had a ticket, they're like, sorry, we can't let you in. I would have gone to jail because I would have hit somebody.
Well, I mean, you think they're probably like, oh, well, you know, we'll get you a refund or whatever. But it's like, bitch, I traveled to get here, made hotel reservations. Sorry that other people can't manage themselves properly. But at the end of the day,
I've always wanted to go to that. After I saw this weekend, I was like, I'm good on that for a few years.
I was gonna say I'm gonna have to. I think the attendance probably takes a little bit of a hit next year. People are probably gonna want to see what they do with it, and I'm definitely one of those people. Like that was like on my bucket list: go sit at hole 16, be rowdy. But moving forward, I feel like they gotta do something. Being in the golf industry, it's just like, don't ruin it for other people. Don't be that
maybe,
guy.
Maybe Shooter was right. Maybe he was right.
Well, talking about old heads. Tiger, this is my other part of my golf. I don't know if you guys saw, release his branding deal with TaylorMade, Sunday Red. So going away from Nike now, going into this new brand. Two different things. There's two weird things about it. It's not Sunday Red, like the day. Sunday Red. So a lot of people are like, why didn't you just make it Sunday Red? I think there might have been some trademark issues with it. But I'll show you the logo. Have either of you guys seen the logo?
I have not.
No.
Do, 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 do,
I was going to say that too. Jeopardy music time.
All right.
No, I did not see it.
Let's see. I'm pulling it up for you guys here. Maybe.
It's also interesting to, while you're pulling it up, have a rebranding and do a new deal with a new company when, like, how much are you really going to golf for the rest of your career? That was kind of my thing too, is like, why now?
All right.
I don't know the story behind it, but
you see this?
I do.
That's sick.
Over here. I think that's sick.
I like the tiger. Yeah. The Sunday red thing is weird, but the tiger's cool.
So that's what I want to show you guys. I think this is possibly one of the worst logos I've ever seen in my life. And a lot of people online hate it. You mean to tell me
you're trying
to come up with a multi-million dollar brand and that's what you come up with?
I guess
my wife's fourth grade students could have come up with something better.
Okay. Now we're stretching. I mean,
it's got the tiger stripes. It's got the, like, the thing that just doesn't make sense to me. And if it is a trademark issue, is the Sunday Red thing. Like that feels weird. And even if that's not part of the official logo, I get it. But that part to me is weird. But the logo is not, I don't hate it.
So is it,
the,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay, is it like a TaylorMade brand? So like it's still gonna have TaylorMade logos on it and stuff with all this stuff?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So he is playing in the Genesis Invitational this weekend. And so today during his practice round, he came out and all of it because they announced it yesterday, and like it just looks cheap. I don't know what other word to describe it. It just doesn't look good. I thought that it would be kind of cool, and I thought that a lot of people would love it. And then just kind of the reactions on social media today were less than stellar, but I'm sure people will buy it.
I would say, to your point, for a guy like Tiger's stature, you think it'd be a little bit better for sure. But I think from just like a standpoint of a logo, I don't hate the logo itself, but you're right. Like if for somebody who's got millions of dollars is such a face of golf, of sports in general, that they could have done a little more.
I know you're trying to go minimalistic for, especially because it's going to be like the main logo.
Like right. And on hats and things like that.
Across the chest and across everything, but couldn't come up with a little bit more badass Tiger than that.
This should be the, when you put out the episode on social media this week, it should just like, when you're promoting the episode, you should put out the logo and be like, what was everyone's thoughts? I'm being serious. Like, cause I want to hear what everyone else thinks. I think it's, now that I'm thinking about it, like it probably could have been better. I've seen worse logos though. But when you're,
I will say this,
branding with Tiger Woods, you're not going for it. I've seen worse, you know.
I liked his
exactly.
I liked his TW better. I will say that
exactly. And so, which I'm assuming he probably couldn't use. I'd imagine Nike holds all the property to that, but there's got to be something. I don't know. This feels a little bit rushed, and you know. The ideas could have been kicked around.
Have you guys seen? Better. Have you seen the girl on TikTok who redesigns logos just for funsies?
Yes.
They should have hired her.
Some are really cool. Some are a little lame, but yeah, could have done something with that. I don't know how much fucking trademark comes with that stuff, but yes, indeed. So we'll see. For those of you who are interested, tune in this weekend to the Genesis Invitational. I'm sure Tiger will be on the featured group at least 2 days until he inevitably misses the cut, and you can see his apparel, see what it looks like. But that's it. That's all I've got for golf.
All right. Cool. That's it for the golf.
Do we want to keep going? You guys need to pee.
I am good for now.
I'm rolling. Okay. I went and grabbed a drink mid conversation.
All right. Let's kick in with our draft, and then we'll do, I'll talk about some free agents for the NFL, and then we'll talk about USC 298. So, Ethan, this is Ethan's idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was. I love coming up with shit like this, as you guys know. So, but granted, I didn't come up with it. Reddit did for me. So, thank you, Reddit. Don't even know what Reddit it was. But going away from grids, figured we'd do a draft this episode, something a little different, something that you guys don't necessarily have to try to get a visual of. Travis made a good point. You guys don't get to see what we see when we do those grids. We haven't been able to put it on social media. So you guys, sometimes it's a little harder, obviously, to listen than would it be to see. So with today's draft, we are going to do a draft of road trip items, but specifically there are going to be categories that you have to draft from. So you have to draft one from each category, and there are five. The five road trip draft categories are snacks, drinks, activity, song. So by song, it's just a song that you have to have on a road trip playlist no matter what. And then some sort of gadget or device or something that you need on a road trip that is not your phone, because that's an obvious one. So those are your five categories.
Activity, he needs like activity on the trip, like,
yes, correct. Not where you're going,
yeah,
but like while you're going. Now you could stop, it could be something like a roadside attraction or some shit like that, but activity from point A to point B.
All right.
That's it.
So how do you want to do this? Do you just want to, can we draft and just say, hey, I'm doing this category and here's my pick?
Yeah. So you kind of want to strategize, right? Because there might be a category where we all three have the same answer. And if you're going first, you might want to get that one out of the way so you can take it before somebody else does. Because there are no duplicates.
All right. So now we're going to determine draft strategy. You hold up. There's three of us. On the count of three, you hold up a one or a two. The odd man out gets to pick first.
Okay.
Okay.
Ready? Yep. One, two, three.
All right. Well, I guess you're going first, Travis.
All right. And then you and Jarrett can
pick a number, Travis. Whoever's closer between 1 and 10. Whoever's okay. closer goes
close
second.
Your eyes. I'm going to hold it up on the screen.
Okay.
Ethan, guess.
4.
5.
Open.
Ah, yeah.
All right. I go third. Snake
draft. All right. I go first.
Yep.
I'm going to go gadget. I think they're very limited. I don't have this gadget, but I would like it. Easy on a road trip. I'm going to go Nintendo Switch.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's one I didn't even think of. That's a really good one.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. So now Travis is going to be thinking, I'm also going to go gadget. And I'm going to say a Bluetooth speaker for pre-gaming. If you're going to the beach or even if you're going on like, if you're golfing, you got to have it. Got to have a Bluetooth speaker.
Nice. All right. Well, now I get to save the gadget for my fifth round pick. So I will start with, let's start with drinks because I think Travis may have this drink as well. There is nothing better on a road trip than having a nice white Monster, sugar-free.
So I think you have to go broad here and say energy drink.
Fine. Energy drink. But yes, well, specifically though, for those who are listening, the white Monsters are
because tremendous. I thought about going energy drink, but then we could all take a certain kind of energy drink, and that's just kind of
literally me and Travis were talking today about how many energy drinks there are because my drink choice is going to be a Reign Dreamsicle, but off the pivot there. So Ethan gets back to back picks actually.
Yep,
I sure do, and I'm just going to jump right into my snack then. I was getting my food items out of the way. It could be kind of vanilla, and it's not everybody's favorite pick because it can be kind of stinky on a road trip, but man, there ain't nothing better than beef jerky when you're driving around far distances. It's easy. It's simple. It's beautiful. I love me some beef jerky.
I'm glad you took it though, because I thought that was controversial.
Yeah, I won't even, obviously we're not doing specifics, but if I had to pick one, if you guys haven't had the Jack Link's like sweet and spicy or whatever. Yeah. Oh my God. So good.
It is.
There we go. Okay, so I got my gadget out of the way. I'll go next with not my drink I have to think on because I only had one because I thought we were going to specifics. I am going to go with a trip activity once we get there. And for me, like there's nothing that solidifies a good trip, bachelor party, vacation, weekend trip, than a nice dinner, whether it's like steak dinner. Or like if you're on the coast or at the ocean, like a nice seafood place, that to me is like a quintessential activity you got to do on a trip.
Okay.
Nice.
I got back to back. I'm going to fire them. My road trip drink of choice, since Ethan took energy drink, next best option, I got to go iced coffee.
Absolutely. And specifically iced coffee. I won't be doing no hot coffees on road trips.
Jared's begging himself.
They get, I don't know why you didn't go drink right there, Jared, knowing that.
Yeah, I thought for sure I was getting stolen. I was getting screwed.
Yep.
And then my activity of choice, because I seem to do this often, no matter where I go, being alcohol lovers we are, stopping at a local brewery or bar.
Yep.
That's a great one.
Yep. It is. It is. So I can save my drink now because now I have time to think. I'm going to go and jump on a snack real quick. Well, actually, I'm going to go on song because Ethan already picked a snack. I'm being kind of
there you go. Thinking ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my song you got to have in your playlist. Again, I think regardless of where you're going on a trip, doesn't matter if this song resonates. It's Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett.
Nice.
Unless you're going to the tundra.
Yeah.
A
little different.
But nine times out of 10, you're going to somewhere tropical and nice.
All right.
That is fair.
I will go ahead and do my song because I don't think anybody has it, so I'm not too worried about it. could be controversial in that. I don't know how many people are playing this song on their road trips, but I personally think it's a great road trip song. Great road trip band. It's a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, and it is Snow, Hey-O. It's just, it's got a good, like, good vibes feel when you're out driving on the open country roads. You know, something to sing along, listen to. Country, if you haven't even heard it, then you don't even know what I'm talking about. But if not, go listen to it. I think it's a good song to listen to in the car when you've been in the car for a while.
It's a good song, but I'm going to counterpoint. I'm going to counterpoint and say that I don't know if it's a good road trip song.
It depends. I mean, if you're, I feel like beginning of the road trip, you're trying to get hyped, so you're playing a little more upbeat music. But you're not playing upbeat music if you're on a 10-hour road trip for 10 hours. Like, it's just not happening. So, that's my thing. Is like, if you're out and you're just vibing, people in the back seat are sleeping, I'm jamming to this song. I almost threw a Noah Kahan song on there, but that feels like recency bias. So, all right. And then I will go ahead and do my activity, I guess. This one also maybe a little outdated, but I'm a sucker for road trip games. I just, you know, doing the I Spy or the trying to check off every license plate of every state in the country off your list on your way, or other good ones are like trying to find a word that starts with every letter in the alphabet, and you have to do it from A to Z in that order. Also a really fun game to play. First person to finish it wins. I got tons in the vault, so I love me some good road trip games.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's sad because I think road trip games are going to die with the future generations.
They kind of already have, yeah. But
yeah. So, so all I have left is my drink and my snack, if I'm playing this right, which I do. So Ethan's got his drink. Travis got his drink. Ethan's got his snack. Travis does not have his snack.
I don't have my snack.
So I'm going to take a snack choice. I have two here, and I'm trying to see which one's better and which one I think Travis has, because most of us want to fuck him over.
I think I know what Travis has now.
I'm going to go with a good like sour gummy, like a good like sour gummy worm or something like that. So that's going to be my pick.
I think I know sour what Travis gummy is worms? Picking here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know it, because I was leaning towards something else. But I get to go back to back. I got my snack and my song. My song, it's one that you're mainly going to listen to with the boys. You're rolling up on a boys trip or bachelor party, and it is Panama by Van Halen.
That was on my list too.
It was on my list as well. I almost put it on there because we listened to that literally as we were rolling into Panama City Beach freshman year during our spring break. I remember that like so vividly.
Yes.
And too. I almost put Trap Queen on there too, but I couldn't do it. So.
And then my snack. Jarrett kind of stole the avenue which I was going. So I'm not going to go that route. I was going to go Sour Patch Kids, but Sour Gummy Worms, Sour Patch Kids kind of go hand in hand. I'm going to go with one that I took that me and Jared in particular downed a whole bag of on our way down to Disney. I'm going to go Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
Yep.
We did. So we did down the whole bag.
Now that all of our snacks are out, I thought you were going to go the combos route, because combos are such a great road trip snack too.
Combos are
pizza
good.
Flavors, Buffalo Ranch, whatever. So good.
They are good. So I guess it goes back to me, my drink. I got to take the obvious choice that's on the board. It's a soda pop.
Okay. I thought you were going to say water, and I was going to shut my fucking computer off.
No. God, no. I hate, like, if I'm on a, like, I need a little treat as I'm driving, because I do a lot of driving road trips. And those, like, whether it's an energy drink, iced coffee, like you guys have already both said, but I will do, I'm diet soda mostly. So, like, a Diet Coke would be like my like go to choice, or a Coke Zero or something like that. So,
Mountain Dew is on my list, as you both know very well. So that would have been my second choice had energy drinks not been on the board. Well, shit, I guess that rounds us off then with my gadget that I saved for the very end. I do not own one of these. But I think it would be so dope to have in a car during a long road trip. And it's something like an Oculus or the Apple Pro Vision, something that you are just hand on your face, no hands. You got games, you can watch movies, you can do whatever you want. It'd just be so nice to have on in a car on a road trip. So that was one of the first things that came to my mind.
Fun game. I want to jump in here real quick. The first motherfucker I see out in public with an Apple Pro Vision on their face, they're getting dropped by me.
I don't think they've made their way to the Midwest yet, but it's starting to get out of hand because I've seen people with them and I'm just like
driving.
Yeah. Well, that's illegal. You can't do that, but people do. You have that and a Tesla both. I hate you. They're the not going to see that in Missouri, over. But so there we go. That was a good one. I feel like we all had a nice one of us stole one from another one, maybe kinda. So this is a good one.
Road trip essentials. I like you.
Road trip essentials. We're going to dive into some free agent NFL talk when we come back. So one last thing of NFL that we're going to talk about until the draft. We're not even really going to touch on a whole lot because we've got USC to cover, is free agency coming up. There's some big, big names heading to free agency. We'll talk about, you know, how big of an impact they are on their team if they were to lose them, if they are going to lose them, and then maybe potential landing spots. So we're not going to do a whole lot, just some more key players rather than anything. So with that being said, we'll kick it off with the first name on the list, Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins is not going to go back to Minnesota. Can almost guarantee you that.
Do you think they find another quarterback in free agency?
Yeah, I just kind of feel like I think the experiment there is done. Like they gave their best shot. I just don't see like.
I think it's very, very much the popular rumor that he's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
With that being said, where do you guys see him going?
I like two possible destinations for him. Don't know if either are popular. Don't know if either make a ton of sense, but they make sense to me. The first one is Pittsburgh. I personally think that their Kenny Pickett experiment has finished for them. I think that Mike Tomlin might want a guy with more experience with a team that does have the build to be successful. I mean, we've seen it. We thought that team was going to be dog shit this year, and they were technically, but they were 10-7. So if you get a good quarterback in there with the guys like George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, when he's healthy, they've got a good tight end in Freiermuth when he's healthy, a great defense, that destination makes sense to me. And then the other one is the Raiders. I feel like that we've said that about a few quarterbacks the last few years, really hasn't panned out. I say last few years, this was only Derek Carr's first year away, but the Jimmy G experiment didn't work out. Aiden O'Connell's not the answer. I think that they don't have the ability necessarily to go out and draft another guy. So I like that destination too.
I have one that's kind of like off the wall a little bit. I actually have two.
I have two as well.
My main one's Seattle.
That was my one of mine.
Seattle to me makes a lot of sense. New coach. They're not going to probably want to keep Geno Smith on board. Got a ton of talent up there. Kenneth Walker, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, JSN, guys that I think Kirk Cousins, being in the league for as long as he has, being a seasoned veteran, can build up. Whether or not he's going to take them to the promised land or not, I don't know. But that also seems to be a division that's kind of trending in a weird direction. I think you have Stafford and the Rams kind of on their way out. Cardinals are doing whatever the fucking Cardinals are doing. The Niners, I think their window is closing a little bit. The Niners window is a little. Because they've had this like 5-year window.
You got to pay a lot of guys.
Yeah, it's starting to kind of like, it helps that Brock Purdy's
right.
Funny stat I saw today: Brock Purdy, if he was an undrafted free agent, would be eligible for a new deal this year. But the fact he was taken with the last pick is not eligible for another 2 years. So they got Brock on a rookie contract for two more years, which helps. But I think there, and this is my kind of wild card pick, he could go back to Washington.
That was my other one.
Are you really? For real?
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
That was my other one. So I like the train of thought there. Yeah. I mean, they need a quarterback. I don't necessarily think that they – I don't know how they kind of separated, but I know that kind of different ownership is taking
RG, out. RG3. It was because they had RG3.
Is that why?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, yeah. Oh, they drafted wow. RG3 and him in the same draft class.
Jeez, it's been that long?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He was with Washington until, what, 2016, 2017, but they were drafted in the same draft class. Obviously, the RG3 experiment was what they wanted to do, but – yeah.
Yeah. Right. And I feel like they built the team up around RG3 and Kirk Cousins didn't pan out and
real fast because I don't think that they'll sign this guy to be the guy, but I've been saying it since midseason. I would love to see the Vikings sign Drew Lock, maybe just to bring in quarterback competition. But if Kirk Cousins is going to go to Seattle, not Sean Payton, Pete Carroll's not there anymore. And I think that Drew Lock was there. Oh, a lot Drew because Locke's of what Carroll done to them. I think that if he's going to get an opportunity, it'll be with a quarterback competition in a place like Minnesota.
I would love to see Drew Lock as the backup in Miami too. I'm just going to throw that out there right now.
Fair.
Every Madden franchise I start.
Yep.
He's the guy I go out and get.
Yep.
All right. With this next one, we don't necessarily have to pick a landing spot because it's kind of impossible. But just whether or not we think he's going to return, because it's been thrown out there a lot, is T. Higgins.
No, he gone.
I don't think he does either.
Carolina.
I think he goes somewhere else. He just wants a bag. I don't know if he necessarily cares a whole lot about a championship at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think he does either. Just kind of, especially with the way that this year went, it kind of just took a backseat role a lot in that offense. Didn't really see a whole lot.
I could see him going to Carolina or the Jets.
Same goes with this player. It's hard to predict where wide receivers go, but do you think he returns or not? It is Michael Pittman.
Yes.
I heard him say something, or maybe he didn't say it. Maybe I just read it somewhere that he wants more consistent. He has never had a consistent quarterback, and people are saying like what he could do with a consistent quarterback because he's had a different one every year. So I don't know if he leaves because he wants that or if he stays because he wants a chance to see what Anthony Richardson does.
I think that's where I'm leaning, is that he stays because he knows that there's actually some talent. I don't think Anthony Richardson is the guy, but with it, you almost kind of have to give him a chance, especially when you're the focal point of that offense.
Receiver-wise.
Okay. Last wide receiver we're going to talk about. Honestly, probably one of the most slept on, underrated wide receivers of the last 8 years, Mike Evans.
If they re-sign Baker, I could see him coming back. It's crazy than it sounds.
Baker really helped him out this year if they did, because he could – I mean, he should get it back. What is it, 1,000 yards every year?
For the first nine years, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see him going – I could see him staying – if Baker resigns, that to me is kind of the linchpin. Because if they don't, I could see him chasing. I'm trying to think of like landing spots. So like to Travis's point, like it's hard to think off the top of your head.
Kansas City.
I was thinking, but Kansas City has a cap space issue.
So this one doesn't make sense because they have wide receivers in the room that are young and developing, but Houston. A true veteran presence, because I know they have Robert Woods, but like not a ton of playing time with a guy like that. If you get a guy like Mike Evans in that offense around Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Noah Brown.
Some Texas roots.
Yep.
See it? All right. We're going to go some running backs, and then we'll talk about the reigning Super Bowl champions and a couple of their big pieces. Running backs, we'll start with Saquon Barkley.
He gone.
Yeah. I think he has wasted too much of his career to keep sitting there and just chasing five wins every year.
So we're going to talk about a couple running backs. I think one of them is going to South Beach.
I mean, Mostert and Jeff Wilson are both old. Achan, you don't know if it's going to be.
Yeah, Achan's not
an every down back.
Right. Yeah.
Saquon, though, I'm pretty sure we predicted this earlier. I think I saw him going, or saw him, but predicted him going out west somewhere, L.A., Las Vegas.
Vegas,
not the Rams, the Chargers.
Vegas is going to move on from Jacobs. That's a good landing spot for him too.
Vegas makes sense, but you said not the Chargers, but you know, with Jim Harbaugh coming in,
no, not the Rams, the Chargers.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, with Jim Harbaugh coming in there, that could be enticing for him. Like, ooh,
because Josh Jacobs is gone.
Yeah,
he's one we're gonna talk about, and Austin Eckler. So, both those places are losing their running backs.
Yep.
So why not go there? So we're all in agreement that he's gone. We'll go with the next one, Derrick Henry. Obviously, I think we all know he's gone because he pretty much
he gave a farewell speech last game.
But where, because you got to think, I don't think he's going to fit into a lot of roles. He is in a run-heavy offense, and he has to go to run-heavy offense.
I can see Derrick Henry going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. If they, I mean, Najee still has, what, one more year
on the rookie deal? But they have two running backs.
Right, and Jalen Warren's young as well.
Which would be tough.
Well, you could easily offload Warren or Najee. You could probably offload Najee a lot easier for a seventh round, sixth round pick somewhere that's going to take a flyer on him on a one-year deal. That to me is like the best spot that makes sense is Pittsburgh. They're, in my mind, probably the most run heavy team in the league that I can think of off the top of my head. So to me, that's a match made in heaven, and they have a decent offensive line too.
One place I think he probably won't go, one, because I don't think the offensive line is great, but the only reason I even bring it up is because if they offered him a bag, would be Arizona.
Arizona.
Yep.
Also another one that's kind of in the market for running back, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Oh God. Yeah. I didn't even think about them. They're Alexander Madison's not the answer. Ty Chandler looked good down the stretch, but not a starter in my eyes.
What about
not Derrick Henry? Good.
Here's another one. Cincinnati would be a good fit. If I don't know,
I just think so pass heavy though. But
what is Joe Mixon's contract with? But they have a great offensive line.
They do, absolutely.
Yeah,
they have a good run. Oh yeah, but I don't know if they're ready to move away from Joe Mixon. He ain't broke, don't fix. You're not going to move away from him and T. Higgins in the same
offseason,
probably. Next up, we've got two more running backs, or technically three. We've got Josh Jacobs. He's gone.
I
hate it, but he's kind of fizzled out. I don't know if wherever he's going to be what he once was, wherever he goes.
That's fine. That's why I think he's a good fit in Miami, because you're not going there to be the ever down back. He's shifty, speedy. He can catch the ball. Whereas I think these previously we talked about don't really fit. I could see him being a fit in Miami. Could see me being a good fit in Tampa Bay. Josh Jacobs.
Yeah. The only reason that Tampa Bay doesn't stand out to me is just because Rashad White's only in his second year and had a pretty good second half of the season. But
we've got to think about everyone's going to a two running back system. Like you can't just like, oh, so and so's there, so I signed so and so.
Rashad White is not a runner. He's more, I feel like.
Yeah.
He's just a little bit more dynamic in some different areas. Yep. So we all think he's gone. This is a running back that's definitely not going to take over a starting role anywhere, I don't think, or he's going to be splitting half and half, Tony Pollard.
So one thing that I thought of today is I could see Tony Pollard staying, but taking over the role he took when Zeke was there and somebody else coming into Dallas.
He's going to have to take, and he's going to not be getting paid a lot, I don't think.
Because he's just not a starting running back in my eyes. We saw it this year, what happened when he was the guy, especially the second half of the season, like the dude just fizzled. So if he stays there, kind of takes over that backup role again, and you bring in it one of these guys we talked about or somebody out of the draft, I could see that happening.
I guess Tony Pollard going to the Giants.
I mean, they're going to need somebody. So,
yeah.
Or here's a guy that could go to the Giants because he fits in the role really well. Yep. But I feel like we got Melvin Gordon 2.0 is Austin Eckler.
Yep.
You know, I don't want any of my teams to touch Austin Eckler flash in the pan, but I could definitely see him fitting into a Giants offensive role very easily. He's gone too. I think a lot of these running backs are gone.
we didn't mention this for any of these guys, but I think Eckler could make sense here too, would be Baltimore. I don't think Dalvin Cook signed for past the postseason. Gus Edwards is injury prone.
Henry is
never on the field.
Henry would do good in Baltimore.
Henry could go there. I could see Saquon going there, but Eckler feels like he fits that mold too, because the offense is so spread and dynamic. And even though he struggled a lot this year, Eckler is both a pass catcher and a runner. And a guy they can use.
So. You know what else he fits there really well? Cause he's only good for about four games.
Yeah.
That's why it fits really well in Baltimore.
Very true.
The last two, because we don't want to bore you guys to death if you don't care about free agents since football's over. Got to talk about some of the two biggest pieces that could leave the Kansas City Chiefs, that could free up that cap space. One being Chris Jones.
I could see Chris Jones coming back on a team-friendly contract just because you won back-to-back championships. How old is he?
A lot of these guys could be, especially the older guys, wanting to stay, chase the three-peat. Like him.
Yeah, right.
So
1 year deal. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. This next guy, I feel like, is going to want to chase a big bag because of the hype he got this year, is L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he's gone.
I think so too. L'Jarius Sneed to me would be, we talked about it.
I mean, he'd be beneficial anywhere he goes because he was locked down.
Bring him
to Houston,
the Packers. Secondary. Abysmal. Joe Barry gone. Like Alexander, not what he once was. I would love to see him in Green Bay.
As much as I hate to say it, seen a lot of rumor around Xavien Howard
getting gone.
Be
a good fit there.
I hate it because I think he's still a top.
He is good, but his contract's bad though.
His contract is bad. So you'd be replacing his contract with L'Jarius Sneed, who is ultimately in his prime. So that wouldn't be a bad fit on that end.
Sneed and Ramsey would be fucking naughty.
So yes.
What they tried to do this year. Didn't work because I feel like Ramsey and Howard played a combination of like four games together.
And I'm going to say this right now. I've really loved who the Dolphins hired for the defensive coordinator spot. I love that hire. Him and McDaniel played together. We're coached together in Washington. Or was it Washington or Cleveland? Can't remember which one. They're together somewhere. Regardless, I could see Sneed going down. If they can offload his X contract, but then you replace an X's contract with a bigger contract, that's a problem. Houston's a good fit. Packers are a good fit, too. A lot of teams are going to be a good fit for
Sneed. Anyone's a good fit because everyone needs a good corner. Mm-hmm. Don't care where you're at. Everyone needs a good corner.
It all comes down to cap space. They're
literally a fucking penny a dozen. Like, you can't find him anywhere. They all get cooked, and he's one of the only ones that didn't get cooked a lot this year. So there you have it. Just want to talk some free agents for you guys. Figured we'd cover that. That was your boys is doing, so good job on that one. Last bit of it's going to be a little bit. UFC 298 is going down this weekend, and
so pumped for the upcoming
massive card. This card is disgusting. It's bananas. Kind of competing up there with UFC 300 in a way, I think.
You can't overlook 299 either. These next three are going to be fucking bangers.
Yeah, they are. They always bangers. UFC always kind of goes away and
turns it
January
up
and over. Early February, and they start turning things up. So we've got there's only one title fight with Volkanovski and Topuria, but there are some bangers on this card, no doubt. Not really a whole lot to talk about. You know, they might be good fights on the early prelims. I don't have anything that I'd like to throw out there to bore you guys with, unless Jarrett does, until the prelims start kicking.
Oh, I got three before the main card. I have one on the early prelims, I think. I don't know when it is. Early prelims, I like Miranda Maverick minus 180 to win. I know it's a high odds fight.
That is the first fight of the night.
Yeah, it's a high odds fight. Andrea Lee's lost four in a row, and I think Miranda's the better fighter. I also like Miranda. Oh, sorry, three. Miranda's the better fighter. I also like her as a parlay piece as well, but minus 180 seems like a lot of juice, but it's a good way to kick off the night, right? If you can put, you know, a couple units on her to win, you know, 1.2 back, I think it's worth the squeeze.
Okay. I don't hate that. I don't have anything until a little bit later. Like I said, not to say these are bad fights, just not anything I'm going to be betting on. What is your next fight that you like?
Justin Taffa.
I also like Justin Taffa. Marcos Rogério de Lima coming off a knockout against a very, very much declining Derek Lewis, and Justin Taffa is kind of just getting started. His record may not be all there, but he's got the power.
Taffa has that same power as the Black Beast does. And if de Lima got knocked out by the Black Beast, I think Taffa can do it as well. Plus 120, you can't not take it, in my opinion. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
Same. I agree. I'm assuming you have a pick in the Amanda Lamos Mackenzie Dern fight, because that's the last one before the main card.
I love Lamos.
This is tough. I stayed away from this one completely because I know she fought Zhang Weili. She got absolutely dominated by her in her last time out in her title fight, but I know that's a different beast in its own. Okay. But just seeing that performance, it was tough.
Do you want to hear? Dern has not been good against good competition. Her two wins in her last five were a decision to Hill and also a split decision to Tessia Torres. In my opinion, are not great fighters. When you look at Lamos, she has only lost champions, Jessica Andrade and Zhang Weili, and she KO'd Hill when Dern had to take her decision. Now, Dern could easily ragdoll her and take her decision, but I think Lamos can come out and try to get back into that title conversation. Odds are close. I think Dern is plus 110. Hill's minus, or Lamos is minus 130. So I like Lamos at minus 130 straight up in this fight.
That's fair. I might just let you ride on that one out because I didn't love a pick in it. We get into the main card, and all these fights I think are going to be bangers. You're not going to want to miss one of them. The first fight to kick off the main card, Anthony Hernandez versus Roman Kapilov. We have, I believe, bet on Roman Kapilov the last two fights. He's coming off four wins in a row, all by knockout. He is a plus 200 dog in this fight, and that's what I'm riding with, just from the sheer power alone. Anthony Hernandez, though, he is a guy who's going to take you down and just hump you to death. Those are the two paths to victory. So if he can get him down, if Kapilov can get up once he gets taken down, if his get-up game is good, he'll win this fight. If not, if he can't find a way to get off the ground, he will lose. I mean, obviously, but those are the only two paths of victory for the two of them.
I think so. That's kind of where I was leaning. Hernandez is kind of a guy that likes to grind you out. He has a lot of finishes in the third round. Kapilov, if he can come out banging and get some early shots in, or like clean shots in early, I think he can win this one by TKO as well. So I like him at plus 200 as well.
Yeah, he really mixes in those body kicks, and those can really wear you down. So if he can, like I said, if he can maintain distance and keep it at a striking distance, plus 200 is great odds. So that's who I have in that one. Next fight up, Merab Dvalishvili versus Henry Cejudo. Merab is a pretty large favorite at minus 225. Henry's plus 185. Merab is a fucking decision merchant. The only finish he has ever had in his 6 years in the UFC was to Marlon Moraes, who he knocked out, who Marlon Moraes has now been knocked out seven times in a row. So take that with a grain of salt. Henry Cejudo, he has only been finished by Mighty Mouse in his career, never been submitted. Over in this is minus 300 odds, so that's trash. Merab, the only way he's going to win, I think, is by decision, and even those odds are trash. The only thing you can take here is Henry. If you're going
to absolutely,
I hate going dog, it's like super dog heavy, but you can't take anything else.
No, I'm in the same boat with you here, because Merab, I think, is a Sterling nut hugger and coat tailor. That's the only reason why he's here. And we're talking about that when Cejudo fought Aljamain Sterling, you could have argued that Cejudo could have won that fight. The only reason why I think he lost, it was a split decision. The reason why he lost was because he was fighting a champion. He is not fighting a champion here. He is not fighting Merab Dilshevi. Is not a champion. If this goes decision, I like Henry Cejudo in every facet of this fight, on the feet, on the ground, indecision.
It helps that he's an Olympic wrestler. So even Aljamain, when he took him down, he can get up. He's not going to stay down long. He's going to actually try to get up. He's not going to be one of those guys that kind of lets you take half guard, sits you, puts his hooks in and just kind of hangs out on the ground. He's not going to be the guy to do that. If Henry loses, it's going to be in either a split decision, 29-28. It's going to be a close fight. Everything outside of that, I like Henry, especially at plus 185. So we're on the same boat. Third to last fight of the night, Jeff Neal, plus 195, taking on Ian Machado, the Cuck Gary, at minus 240. I have something for you. Ian Gary still remains unbeaten in the octagon, but in the media, this dude can't keep his name out of the media. He hasn't fought since all this is going around. The last fight got canceled with Vicente Luque. Do you think that kind of takes a little bit of a toll on where your head is in the game?
I do. And if he was fighting anyone but Jeff Neal, I would doubt it. But Jeff Neal is the definition of a journeyman. And there's a reason why they canceled the Luque fight got canceled because I think Luque got hurt, right? Is that what it was? No.
Ian Gary had got like sick the night before.
That's what it was. Yeah, so I can't bet. I'm not going to go three dogs in a row. I'm not going to bet on Jeff Neal because I've seen Jeff Neal fight and he's not good. And I've seen Ian Gary pick apart guys like this. I'm not betting it straight up. To me, Ian Gary's more of a parlay piece, if anything. I think he wins. It's not going to be a sexy fight, but I think gets it done.
My issue is Ian Gary's strength of opponents. He hasn't really fought anyone crazy. He really disappointed me in that last Neil Magny fight. The fact that he couldn't get him out of there, and there's definitely, if you're going to get a guy, I know Neil Magny's a tough opponent, but he's not the guy to stand and bang, and that's kind of what Ian Gary does. Jeff Neal, on the other hand, he just got submitted by Shavkat, but before that, he knocked out Vicente Luque, who I thought was going to beat Ian Gary.
So but he also lost to Neil Magny, though.
He did. Sure. So it's like if you're going that route, it's tough. That doesn't always work out in your favor. You lose to this guy or what? What is that like stat? I guess
transitive property.
Yeah,
that's what
it doesn't always work out. But especially in fights, because styles make fights. Jeff Neal, all it takes is one punch with him because he does have power. The thing that I find weird about this fight, he's 4 inches shorter than him, but has the reach advantage.
So that's why I think Ian Gary's going to use a lot of his kicks, which to me is a big advantage in his game, his striking game with his legs. Again, I'm not going to bet on Jeff Neal. I have Gary in a couple of parlays. So that to me is the only way you bet on this fight is if you have Gary in a parlay. If you want to take a flyer on Jeff Neal, fine, but I'm not going to bet on three dogs to start the main card.
That's fair. If you're wanting to go long shot, and you don't really know if you want to bet on Ian Gary. The only thing I had that you could sprinkle a little bit on if you're up is Jeff Neal by TKO, because that's how he's going to win this fight, is just catching him and knocking him out. Outside of that, wouldn't be surprised if Ian Gary is one of those guys that ruins a parlay just because of that. And that's really it.
Yeah. That's really it.
Last two fights of the night, Robert Whittaker taking on Paulo Costa. You're going to want to tune into this because this is probably the only time you guys are going to see either of these dudes fight until next year, because they are the most inactive guys in the division. Neither of the two.
It's not fair for Whittaker, but.
Okay. Neither of these two guys have won a fight in a year and a half, and they have a combined 5 fights in the last 5 years. Not a combined, but each of them have fought 5 times in the last 5 years.
Well, let's go ahead and say why Whittaker hasn't won more than because he's fought Adesanya twice and
Trikus.
Dragus Du Plessis. Okay, there we go.
I think the layoff definitely benefits Robert Whittaker because he's a guy that is very determined. He stays in the gym, yada, yada, yada. With that being said, ring rust is a thing. We've seen it with many fighters. Paulo Costa hasn't been in the octagon in a year and a half. He's been dealing with a bunch of different injuries, all constantly having to pull out. Wouldn't be surprised if this is one of the fights that fucking gets taken off the card on Friday. Yeah. Because one of them gets hurt. With that being said, it's only a 3-round fight. Neither of these guys have had a finish in the octagon in over 5 years. Neither of them. Over 2.5 is -150, 3 units.
I love the over 2.5. I even love Whitaker by decision more. Well, not more, but I also like Whitaker by decision at +130. Because if this goes decision, Whitaker's not losing. I'm sorry, because Costa, all he does is stand up and bang. And I think it would be senseless for Whitaker to try to stand and bang with Costa. He's a smarter fighter. He's a better fighter. He's the more well-rounded fighter, in my opinion. And I think he's going to be smart and tire him out. I mean, Costa, in his credit, he's been known to go longer lately, but historically, like, he's known as a guy that's going to gas out early. And if Costa gasses out early, tries to empty the gas tank to try to finish him because he saw Dreykus do it or whatever, it's not going to play in his favor. So I like Whitaker by decision +130, but I might like Travis's over 2.5 at -150 even more.
Yeah, I just think, but naturally we'll get a first round knockout by one or the other. But it's just one of those fights where I just see like hyping it up because these are two really good fighters going in there in the first round, and it just puts you to sleep right before the main event. Mm-hmm. But if you have money on the over, it's always a good thing to take to kind of hope for a more boring fight. Last fight of the night, Alexander Volkanovski versus Ilya Topuria, the featherweight title bout. Ilya's been on a straight path to the belt since he joined the UFC. It's always been in question, though, because he's been in the division where he's probably the most dominant champion of any divisions in, you know, recent, what,
memory.
4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
He was submission specialist before he joined the UFC, then became a bit of a KO artist. He can get it all done. But the big thing going into this fight is the 35-year rule, which is in the weight divisions 125 to 170. If you are in a title fight and you are 35 years or older, the people who are 35 years or older, their records are 2-30.
So Volk falls in that 35 and older, or Topuria?
He is 35 years old. Topuria is only 27. And he really falls in the category because he was 35 when he fought Islam last time.
I don't care. I'm not bet on Ilya Topuria. Dude, look at his fucking resume. His best win was when he submitted a fucking flu-ridden Bryce Mitchell.
It's just tough. It's always tough betting on a guy coming off a knockout loss. I know you got Volk coming on the back end of his career. He's been there. He's held a belt for a long time. It's one of those things. And we've seen so many new champions lately where I think it just might finally be time. I don't like it by a lot. Like, I'd probably only put one unit on it. But I also hate
Ilya Topuria. I think he's fucking too cocky.
He already has in his Twitter bio, featherweight champion.
Okay, he loses then. There it is. He
I knew you would love that.
He lost.
The odds are very close. It is Volk -130, which might be one of the lowest odds he's had because Topuria is undefeated, 14-0, and he is +110. It's just tough with the value and the stats.
Fuck that 230 stat out the window. Seriously, fuck it out the window. My problem is
pretty good stat.
Is the resume aspect of it. What has Topuria done? Again, his best win is against a Bryce Mitchell who had the flu. He submitted him.
Hey, he beat Josh Emmett, who's fought in title fights.
And Josh Emmett, fine. You look at Volkanovski, he's fought nothing but title fights since December of 2019. Every single one of his fights has been a title fight. And his two losses are to Islam fucking Makhachev, who is the lightweight champion, a weight class above these guys. If Topuria goes up and fights Makhachev, Topuria gets dominated in fucking 45 seconds. He gets submitted in 45 seconds. I'm sorry. That's how it goes. So because of that, I'm betting
Topuria's ground game's insane. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see on Saturday night. Jarrett's very, very much on the Volk train. Listen, I respect him. I think he's, you know, one of the best belt holders we've seen. I'm gonna throw this to you guys though. Well, I don't know how much Ethan's gonna be able to answer this because he's kind of been sitting taking the back burner.
Bring it on,
like usual. The 2 and 30. Do you guys know who the two wins of the title fight champions are that were over 35 years old?
I'm going to take a stab at one before Jared does, since I'm the odd man out here.
I'll make it easy for you guys. One guy.
Sean Jones.
Yeah. No.
He's not. I thought he was older than 35 when he came back and won that belt.
It's Mr. Daniel Cormier.
Nope.
All right. Hold on. First of all, though, how old is John Jones? Because I thought he came back and fought that. Was it heavyweight or light heavyweight when he came back?
John Jones is younger than me.
Really?
John Jones is 36 now.
What? 36 now. Okay. For some reason, I thought he was had been in the 30, game for a while.
But. 30 and older? So 30 and older or 35 and older?
35.
Okay. No, it's Glover Teixeira.
Nope.
Glover Teixeira, I know the name.
Okay, so this stat you pulled is wrong because Glover Teixeira just won
125 to 170.
Okay, so that now you're what is now we're starting to pin
the name that I would know. That's my question.
That's what it was the entire time. 125 to 170.
It's fucking got to be Kamaru Usman.
Nope, he wasn't over 35. You know him very well.
I was about to say somebody want to answer my question because Jared keeps throwing out guesses. I said, do I know him very well? So, okay.
Very well.
Okay.
I'll say this. I know
Tyron,
him very well.
Tyron Woodley.
Tyron Woodley.
Nice.
He is the only one. He is the only two of the 32.
That doesn't give me very much warm and fuzzies at all. So.
I have an enticing parlay for you all, just based on taking in everything you guys just talked about.
It's just a
dog parlay, three guys, Justin Tafa, Henry Cejudo, and Roman Kapilov, all to win outright, plus 1500.
I could fuck with that hard.
That's a nice little. You know, one of them will lose for sure, but I throw $10 on it to win 150. Shit.
Yeah. That's way better than mine because I had a plus 1387 one that was a six fighter, but I liked that one a lot better. I liked that one a lot better. Travis doesn't like Volk, but I like Volk, Whitaker, and Gary at plus 260.
See, those are three. I could see all three of those fights going either way, which is the only issue. Just because of what's on the line for each person in their career with the other ones, like Tafa, neither of those guys are like, win now mode. I mean, obviously everyone wants to win, but it's like, what's all the other three guys, like Ian Gary, Robert Whitaker, Volk, the one's title fight, the other two are like not necessarily title eliminator, maybe for Ian Gary coming up soon, but definitely for Whitaker and Costa.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
Either way, I like Ethan's.
Ethan's a lot.
The only thing we had different was the main event, which I'm not saying Volk loses, but it might be time for some new blood in that division.
Are you going to bet on Topuria?
Like I said, probably, but not a lot. I only have a unit on it.
Okay.
Also, all right. If you like Justin Tafa, and you just want a little extra juice, even though he's already plus money. Neither of those guys ever go to a decision, and it's almost always a knockout. So if you wanted to take Justin Tafa by KO, TKO, I couldn't find the odds. I'm sure they're somewhere, but that is probably at least plus 250.
Well, that's the only way that Justin Tafa has won a fight ever. So
yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying. He's 100%, and what's-his-face is like 92% KO, TKO, and like 8% decision.
Hernandez. Yeah.
So that's a bet too. The fight to finish by knockout is probably, it's probably not plus money, to be honest. It's probably like minus 130, but
either way, there you have it. UFC 298, tune in. It'll be a banger. We got the next three pay-per-view events are going to be absolute fire. Which
so Dana White announced. Yep, you're gonna say what I was gonna say.
What?
UFC 300 is gonna be announced in the post fight press conference of UFC 298 this weekend.
Really, in the post fight?
Yeah,
I heard John Anik said this morning. He said I think we will see it. Well, this was on the BYM podcast. He said I think we will see it announced by Friday. So
no, could get Dana White. He could be like, but Dana White said for sure post fight on 298, we're gonna see 300. I've been hearing Khamzat Leon, which would be insane.
See, it would be a good fight, I think. I guess. I don't love either of those guys.
John Jones ain't coming back. I've also heard Aspinall and Alex Pereira for the heavyweight interim belt.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was also either Leon and Bilal.
Fucking drown me in my lake outside my house if it's Leon and Bilal. I mean, I'm not even joking. I get it. Bilal's he's due for a title shot, but goddamn, I couldn't picture a more boring event. Make that 301. Make that 302. Like something. Like that can't be your 300 main event. I'm sorry. They fumbled the bag with 200. They can't fumble the bag with 300.
That's fair. We'll see. Final guesses? Jared's going the most popular. Leon and Khamzat.
I could also see Aspinall and Alex Pereira for the interim light heavyweight, for the interim heavyweight. I could also see a Jamahal Hill come back for light heavyweight.
Jamahal Hill and who has that now?
Who just beat Yuri? He's beat Yuri.
It was Alex.
That could be it too. So they're going to try to make Alex be a three-weight champion.
He's not going to heavyweight.
So I heard Tom Aspinall and Alex Pereira. Yep.
No. It would be Cyril Gane and Tom Aspinall.
Why? Because okay.
But Cyril Gane already has a fight booked. Doesn't he?
I don't know. That's the problem. You gotta look at what's booked out.
There's so much going on. It's like, and I think that's why it's taken so long, because Dana White said you can make a documentary about trying to get this fight, this main event booked for 300, because much shit.
Everyone wants to fight on it.
Everyone wants to fight on it. There's only a select few possibilities in weight divisions if you want it to be a title fight.
A low key like dark horse one. Which I know because they announced McGregor Chandler for June would be McGregor DS 3.
Well, he's already not McGregor. I think what's delaying this is McGregor's not going to be back on time. I think Michael Chandler's got to take a fight.
I mean, USADA's out of the process now, so I think McGregor can come back anytime he wants to come back.
We'll see. I don't know. It'll be interesting. We'll find out on Saturday night. We'll throw out all the picks for UFC for you on Saturday. And until then, we will see you next week.
Peace.